You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to PodcastJuice.net. You're listening to Geeked Out. My name is Michael Dean. Joining me today, Big Sexy and Sack. How are you, sir?
Saturday morning in California. I'm doing right. Doing all right, man. Doing all right.
All right. Q Storm, how are you, sir?
How dare they change the music to the opening of Star Wars from here on out?
Uh-oh. What? Uh-oh.
You heard me.
I don't. What are you referencing? I'm not sure.
I put it on Twitter. There was a report, and we talked about this maybe a couple.
Nobody reads you on Twitter, so you gotta help us out.
Go ahead, tell us. Go ahead.
I thought I heard some foolish noise in the background, but anyway, someone reported. I can't remember the source, Screen Rant or something like that, but. The new digital downloads of Star Wars will not have the 20th Century Fox fanfare
right
anymore, and they will not do that moving forward.
I did see that actually. Yeah, I didn't just talk about. Well, it's not 20th Century Fox, nothing to do with it.
Well, I'm fine with that. I mean, I'm fine with it. I thought you were talking about the classic Star Wars orchestra music. I'm like, what?
All right, Ampu, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful Saturday, and I have plans for later on today.
All right.
Hey.
Because I'm a business.
Oh. Hey, what's his name?
Wow. Stop. Stop.
Mr. Mo Kelly and Tawala Sharp, thank you very much.
Double teaming. Next up, Sean Hill. I told you to stop. That's what you leave it wide open. Pause.
Okay, I'm doing well, and since this is Geeked Out, I'll say this now since we kind of talked about Star Wars. Mr. Lucas.
I'm sorry, talking about what?
Star Wars, since we were just talking about it. Mr. Lucas. Mr. Lucas, you will no longer get any money from me. I am done buying Star Wars stuff unless you release the original trilogy unedited, unhampered, unraped. Thank you very much.
Unraped.
Hey, Sean, you know Mr. Lucas no longer owns Star Wars, right?
It doesn't matter.
That's Disney.
Well, I have a long-standing beef with Disney, so that's even better.
You must not ever want any money then. You're talking about trying to beef with Disney. You're like, what? They own everything, sir.
All right. Well, speaking of something owned by Disney, by the way of Marvel, we're going to talk about the Daredevil Marvel Netflix TV series that debuted yesterday, Friday. The mission for us was to watch at least a couple episodes. I think some of us have watched a little bit more. Excuse me. So I wanted to kind of go around the room and let's get impressions of this. This is Marvel's first foray to doing original programming on Netflix. So this should be a little different from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., for instance, but we're going to see how does it compare. So I want to go to Big Sexy. Have you had an opportunity to watch an episode of this show yet?
You know, actually, I'm watching it right now. And from what I've seen, the opening captures the origin perfectly. And I don't know if this is a technical thing that I'm seeing, but it looks like this was shot in full-on high def because it's really filling up the screen. And the little guy who played young Murdoch, I'm digging this. Right. You know, I was not in last night. I was out, you know, with some attorney friends drinking and puking, and so I'll be watching the rest of it this afternoon. But I'm liking what I'm seeing right now.
All right. I'm going to give you an official Nagger card. I'd have to do that.
Ouch.
That's all good. Q Storm.
Well.
What's your take, sir? And how many episodes have you seen?
I've seen the first four.
Oh, okay.
I'll say this. I do have some nitpicks. But overall, I think the show is amazing. And I think... Let me tell you why. Because it is... You know how, Mike, you know, you've put me on to Survivors, Misfits.
Survivors was great. Oh,
you
man.
You put me onto all these BBC shows and like Sherlock. Well, you didn't put me on that, but Sherlock. And the way they shoot things, the production design over in Europe and specifically like Great Britain, it has a grittiness, a rawness to it that you don't see in American TV. I think in American TV, they telegraph everything either through the camera angles or the music, the corny music. And this show looks like something that was done overseas. And that's a compliment. The way it looks, the way it was shot, the way it's even acted, except for Foggy, that guy.
He's horrible.
Yeah. He's like, I like his look, But he's just that annoying sidekick that they need to tone him down. He gets a little better in episode 4. But and I'm not going to unless I won't spoil anything unless I hear other people spoiling, but there's one scene in episode 2, I think it's episode 2, that is straight out of Korean cinema, and I think it's beautiful. It's a hallway fight scene.
Yes.
You've stolen my notes, sir.
I saw that, I was like, thank God. This is derivative, but it's derivative of something that's great. The other thing I like about the show is that they don't use music cues to tell you how to feel. It's pretty much almost like a stage play watching this. And I will say there's one scene, I think it's in the first episode, where he's punching the heavy bag. Mm-hmm. He got his ass kicked or something, he's punching the heavy bag. When they do use music in the show, it is the cheesiest music I've ever. It's like 80s music. It sounds like a Dolph Lundgren or a Steven Seagal film. But overall, they don't let music dictate to you how you're supposed to feel. And I love that. I love the way this looks. I'm not really thrilled with the lead actor's look. He looks kind of schlubbish to me. But he's fit. And if that's him, I don't know how much of a stunt double he's using. But dude got some skills. So I'm loving the show. It does drag from time to time. But it gets a little slow from time to time. But overall, it's a welcome addition to American TV that stands apart on its own.
All right. I'm going to add my 2 cents. So I'll let everybody else speak too. But I will just say I am liking it so far. I love the flow of the story. I think it isn't until the end of the third, maybe the fourth, where we actually first see the Kingpin, right?
Yes, that's
and
correct.
And I
yes.
love the way that is brought, you know, how we move into that and we just hear about him and you see, you know, the actions of things that he has people doing and the whole underworld thing. I'm really digging how that is working. I agree with you. The action, the fight scenes, brutal, played very well. I was like, man, this is dope. This guy, you know, the thing I like about it is he's, you know, to me, I'm comparing everything to kind of Winter Soldier right now. And he's not Captain America. One thing, Daredevil, he's going to get his ass, you know, this guy's getting hurt out there. But he is a brawler, man. He's getting in there. He's putting in the work. He's going at these dudes. I love that. I love the interaction with the Rosario character. It's kind of cool. I'm not very familiar with.
Yeah, they got Rosario Dawson. How did they do that?
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm feeling this. And I love the look of it. It's dark. It's just everything about it so far. I'm only watched 3.5-4 episodes, and I'm just really it's a slower kind of burn sometimes, but it works because all the episodes are there. I think it had been different for me a little bit if I would have had to
wait a week
to watch this. And this kind of shows me some of the problem. I'm going to jump off a little bit. It showed me a little problem I have with The Walking Dead a little bit. I almost wish The Walking Dead was released like this, because I think the storytelling that they're doing on there would play better for me, because I don't have to wait to see what's going on. And this, I can just keep watching. And so when it slows down a little bit, I can appreciate it, because I know immediately next episode's there, the story goes, and I'm all in it. So I'm loving it so far. Sean Hill, what do you think about the show?
Wait. I just saw the opening fight scene. Are we spoiling?
Not necessarily.
He just beat the living shit out of that dude at the beginning. Damn! The black guy who kept shooting at him, he just beat him down.
You know what? You bring up a good point, though. I know we're going to Sean, but I guess maybe it's a little bit too much Punisher, Man of Steel. Like, if this is a superhero story, I want the guys to... You can't get hit in the face or the stomach. The bad guys did just get right back up, start fighting again. It's like, that's not part of the superhero iconography, you know? The bad guys stay down.
Well, the question would be, and I'm not familiar, how close is this to the Frank Miller?
It is very close. I'm glad you said it. It's very close to Frank Miller and Bendis in the tone. And I like that. And the beating he just laid on that one guy was like Blaine whipping Q-Storm's ass.
Hysterical.
Ooh. I got you. That'll be another show.
Sean Hill.
Okay, so before I start, let me say this. I love each and every one of you guys. I love being a part of podcastjuice.net.
Here we go. You about this to talk crazy.
This isn't a show.
Bullshit alert.
This isn't a show that I would normally watch in my everyday viewing, but being part of the show, of course, I have to, watch. I'm impressed with the look. Everyone's talked about the look. I think it's a little too dark. The look of it is a little too dark. But I'm not fully invested in the characters. Now, I know nothing about Daredevil at all. Nothing. I mean, I've seen the Ben Affleck movie and don't remember it. So I'm looking for more backstory. I have no idea who Daredevil is, and I'm speaking in this particular story. I guess I understand his motivations, but I want to know more about how he became to be who he is now. I've only seen two episodes. So let me just preface it by saying that. Q-Storm did mention my absolute favorite part. I had to watch it three times to make sure I was seeing what I was actually seeing, the spectacular hallway fight that is part unbroken shot, but then it's edited to make it kind of look like it's kind of like a Birdman.
Birdman, yep.
But that was impressive. That was really, really impressive. I am still on the fence, though, as whether or not I'm going to watch further. I mean, if we review it for the show, I'll watch it for the show's sake. But again, it wouldn't be something that I would just normally watch. I did get a little annoyed. I don't know if the rest of you guys picked up on it, on the Pulp Fiction references. And I don't know if they were intentional or not intentional. But
You talking about when Rosario Dawson stabs him in the lung or something?
No. Ow. What round was he was supposed to take a dive in?
Fifth, I think it was.
The fifth round, yep. And then what round did Marcellus tell Butch to take a dive in Pulp Fiction?
I don't remember.
In the fifth, ass goes down. I mean, the line is almost verbatim. The line is almost verbatim from Pulp Fiction. So that, I don't know. That little part, just I don't know if it was intentional. I don't know if it was a nod.
Yeah.
I guess the other question would be: Does the book that they're referencing say that too? I don't know.
Yeah, but for me, not knowing anything about the lead character, and for right now, he's kind of bland. I would like to have more backstory, because other than that, I don't think he's that interesting.
Well, they're giving you backstory and flashbacks.
Yeah, but even that is, I don't know. I hate that structure. I hate that flashback structure. Just tell me a chronological story. Give me the kid at the beginning. Show him evolve. Bam, he's now Daredevil.
But see, then we fall into the trap of it being the same kind of origin movie or story over and over, which I think Marvel is moving away from.
Okay, but see, you guys are at an advantage. You guys, I'm assuming, know the origin. You know all that stuff.
I only know it from seeing the other movie.
Okay. I don't. I don't even remember why he became who he became. So I'm not as interested in the Daredevil character without knowing, I'm remembering the movie that he can fight by hearing, right? Is that my understanding? Okay. So I get that, but still, there still has to be some training involved. When did that come about?
Right. And I think that's coming. I've seen little clips or pictures from stuff that's coming that will explain that.
Okay. All right. Like I said, I'm only two episodes in, so.
But here's the thing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, no, I'll step away for a moment, gentlemen. Excuse me.
But Sean, here's the thing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm only two episodes in. So I'm making this, you guys have seen more than I have so far. But I would say I'm not impressed, and I wouldn't watch it again. Only reason why I'm going to watch it more is because of the show.
But okay, actually, I had another point I wanted to make. I'll come back to that because I'm going to address what you just said. I could see someone saying, I need to know more about the character to be invested in him. I can understand that if you're dealing with a property that comes out of left field, like if you're talking about a Neo or something like that, that when the first Matrix came out, you didn't know who Neo was and what this universe was. But to me, saying, like, watching this character, to me, that'd be like saying, well, we're in a saloon. A guy walks in through the swinging doors and says, I'm here for Hopalong Cassidy, whatever. That is such an archetypal setup. You know that character when he first comes on screen. You don't have to know shit about that character. But you know, quote unquote, the character throughout 60 years of pop reference. All you need to, you, in the first episode, you saw this kid get the first scene. This kid is knocked over in the middle of the street. He can't see. You see radioactive toxins in the street and they're covering his eyes. Then we cut to a guy who's kicking ass. I mean, you know he's blind. You know it's a superhero serial. So you know it's going to be explained to you as we go along. So it seems like rather than saying, I need to know the character before I can get into it, you would be saying, wow, I know the character, the archetypal character. I'm curious to see how he gets to that point, as opposed to saying you're not invested in it. Because this is all, there's nothing we haven't seen before.
Well, you got to remember, too, I'm not as invested or steeped in the comic book world that you guys are. So
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does.
Why does it matter? I think anyone,
Sean, I'm gonna have to side with Q. I think that's a cop out because you're the movie guy. You're the movie guy. You know the structures of a story.
I know the structures of a story, but within any story, you have to have characters that you can connect to and relate to.
Remember, I believe you said this is the archivist talking. Captain America: Winter Soldier would have been a great film if there had been no costume superheroes in it. And why is that? Because you know the structure, you know the setup, you know these archetypal figures from, like I say again, 60 years, over 60 years of pop culture reference.
Okay, but Captain America Winter Soldier is a sequel from a movie that I've already learned about.
You missed my character. Whole point. You missed my point.
Okay.
Saying whether or not Captain America, take away the costumes. Take away the hero. It could just be this guy works for a government agency. You don't know anything about him. But after 50 years of James Bond, the man from U.N.C.L.E., the Saint, you know that character. So it doesn't matter that you wouldn't have seen Captain America the first movie. You should know the character, and the gaps could be filled in along the way. And we're smart enough. We should be intelligent enough as moviegoers to be able to say, I don't need a spoon fed to me.
Okay. Now that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, let's get Aunt Poo's.
Okay,
I wasn't trying to beat him down or nothing. I'm just trying.
You wasn't trying to.
I had no feel beat down. Pause. I gotta step away for a second anyway. I'll be right back.
Don't be crying.
Damn, I done drove two of them away. All right, damn.
Preview of HQ.
Feel like Smokey. He gonna cry in the car.
I'm not throwing Sean on the bus, but I get tired of that thing about I don't know the character. Nigga, you know the character.
Okay, go ahead.
So I'm just starting episode 4. I like it. I know it's definitely a lot different, definitely a lot darker, more adult, more mature in tone and setting with Arrow and The Walking Dead. The only reason I put it there is the fact that it's not so much like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well as the Marvel Cinematic Universe and even Flash, I would say, in the sense that it's not saying dumbed down, but as far as for all ages, they some of the themes and tones that are in the show are accessible for adults, accessible for the comic book characters. Now, the one thing I will say is I think it tries a little too hard. And I'm looking at You, episode 2, which I think that was clearly an homage or an outright aping plagiarism of Asian film, especially all of you are going on and on about that epic hallway fight scene. I've seen it before in Ong Bak. I've seen it in Ip Man. I've seen it in The Raid. It was done better there. Thank you. I'd rather not have another. But that being said, I am feeling this show, and I can't wait to get to the other 9 episodes.
All right. Well,
but to me, episode 2 so far was the worst episode of this of the season.
Damn,
that was my favorite so far.
Me too.
I'm sorry. I just are we at spoilers now? I mean, at this point, we're only 3 episodes. Everyone's seen at least 3 episodes, correct?
No.
Oh, okay. What about two? Okay, what about two?
I've seen two.
Okay. Let's just be honest. Episode 2, I feel, was just... This was like we're trying to be Quentin Tarantino, Kill Bill, level, in my opinion. It was just like this whole thing was we have... Maybe there is some type of appreciation for it. We have one night. He's alone. He's hurt. They're looking for him. How does the hero survive? And then at the same time, save the day. And it just felt so much like a martial arts film. And I'm like, okay, I felt like that probably should have been episode 10 as opposed to episode 2. But who am I to say? I'm not the creative person behind the show. Who am I to tell you how you structure your series? But I just felt like, wait a minute. Episode 1, we just got a little bit of background on the characters. We got Matt and Foggy opening up their practice. We got Karen Page. We got a little introduction of a larger conspiracy of, we're going to go ahead and say it, the Kingpin. And his, as he begins his underworld empire building. And now we're like, Daredevil is in this huge amount of that was reminding me of Batman Year One, where the police had him trapped. Remember the cover? He's hurt.
Written
he's
by the same person.
Yeah, that's true. He's hurt, surrounded by police, and he has them right where they want him. That whole type of archetype. But that was just to me. I didn't like episode 2.
I loved episode 2 because it got right into some shit. I personally, that was... The first episode was cool to me, but it was a little slow. This one just picks... I'm like, thank you. You needed a shot in the arm. And this first... That second episode, to me, is the start of the season, in my opinion. Like, this where it just puts you in what's going on. This guy can be hurt. It introduces the night nurse character. I thought that was great. I love the second episode. I love the third one, too. The third one, is that where they're at the bowling alley?
Is it? Yeah.
That was badass to me.
Can we talk about the B story real quick of episode 2? Because that went nowhere.
The which one?
At least the subplot, the B story. Foggy and the girl. I can't remember her name. I call her Jessica. You know, their whole thing, they go out to drink.
Karen Page?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know her name. Where they go out and all that. I mean, that to me, I was like, come on, let's get back. Let's get back to Daredevil. I don't care about these two.
Wow.
And as you said, he's annoying as hell. So
I like Foggy.
I don't know. He was annoying or is annoying to me.
He's supposed to be.
Well, I don't know that.
I don't know the Daredevil comics I read were the ones back in the 70s where he, see, you know,
forget everything.
Foggy was a loyal sidekick. He wasn't that hipster comedy dude.
Forget everything you read with Daredevil until issue 158, where Frank Miller started doing. Actually, 168, when he started writing and drawing. That's where you should start.
Right. Let me ask this question. Can I move on? Can I ask a question, Mike?
I appreciate you asking. Go ahead.
Wow. Okay.
Subliminal shots.
Subliminal shots.
I said subliminal.
I'll take the smackdown. But what I was going to ask Ant, did you saw the episode with the guy at the bowling alley, right?
Yes, indeed, sir.
This isn't what I was going to say, but I wanted to ask Ant if he liked that guy's Tracy Ellis Ross impression.
I didn't notice the thing with the eye you're talking about.
You haven't seen.
You said episode 4, so I wasn't looking for it.
Well, wait a minute. Was he still alive at the end of episode 3?
God damn, Q. Look at you.
I did. I'm sorry.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, damn.
The guy at the bowling guy, the little short, bald guy that was in trouble.
He looked like a poor man's Jason Statham.
Okay. Yeah. What about him with the eye?
If you don't know what I'm talking about, so forget it. Moving on.
I missed that. Yes, sir.
It was a joke. Womp,
womp, womp. And that was episode 3, not 4. So I wasn't looking out for somebody with a weird eye in episode 3. So
okay, you'll know. And when you get to that point, when you get to that part, you'll die laughing.
No, I won't, because I already watched episode 3. So
I'm saying episode 4. It happens in episode 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, can I ask a question?
I didn't ask my question.
I thought you did. The whole eye thing was the question.
I was wondering if you guys had a problem with the fact... I mean, I understand they have to do it, but if you guys have a problem with the fact that this is tied into the greater MCU, because it just seems like, I know it's a comic book story and they have to merge all these even in the comic books, but it just seems like it's when you bring in the fact that there were aliens attacking Midtown Manhattan and you got Thor, Hulk, Iron Man, and all these other characters, that this story that takes place in Hell's Kitchen seems so meaningless. It's like, it seems like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it seems so insignificant when you have this other stuff in the same universe happening, which is of such a grander scale. Anybody feel that way? Or
that's how it is in the book, though.
Yeah, I don't feel that way.
In the Daredevil books, when Miller did it and when Bendis did it, for the most part, they left him alone with all the crossover and all that bullshit. They left that out of there. They stayed pretty much in Hell's Kitchen.
But they didn't leave. They didn't leave it out of this.
Well,
they make it barely mentioned, though.
It's a branding thing. That's all that is. You know, you go have some continuity tie-in. That's all.
Yeah, my question to you is like, I'm just kind of confused. Why do you even make that statement? As far as being insignificant with this, with these characters.
No, what I'm saying is that I think Mike made a hint to this too. Once you introduce aliens and stuff like that, it takes your story, it takes your universe to another whole level. So I'm just I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying it just strikes me as interesting that Manhattan just went through, you know, 2 years ago had aliens attacking and giant space worms, and you had all these big heroes leveling Midtown, and it just seems a little off kilter that now we have this series where, which I'm supposed to feel this, it seems insignificant that you got a hero who's fighting the mob.
I think it works because, you know, Iron Man, Captain America aren't in the streets. These criminals are not going to stop being criminals. And they even mentioned the reason why they're having a good... He said it's good for our business that New York invasion did happen. They mentioned that early on, the bad guys. I personally feel this works only because they don't have the Chitauri, and you don't see yet, you know, the real superheroes, in my opinion, walk on the screen on this. I'll be curious to see how this plays later, when they're supposedly going to do the Defenders and you have to introduce some of these other elements, and be curious to see how that works. But I think right now what they're doing, I think it works perfectly. Unlike when I may have mentioned before, like let's say with the Dark Knight movies versus the Man of Steel, I think those universes are totally separate. You guys hear that noise?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know what that is. That's my mic or something. But I think it works so far in this. I don't see a problem with it, as opposed to, I don't think it... See, it's different because this doesn't even feel like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to me, which to me, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I feel like, man, where are these big elements? And then when they do introduce them, I'm always concerned of like, well, if you are dealing with aliens and all this, why aren't you showing some of this other stuff? This show isn't really dealing with that. They're dealing with street-level stuff. It's in Hell's Kitchen. And until we see somebody pick up a Chitauri gun laying around, or, you know, a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent comes and stops by, I still feel like it works within the context of where this is at. I don't see the problem with it.
Okay, well, and on top of that, if you look at Iron Man 3, those weren't aliens. And if you look at Winter Soldier, they weren't dealing with aliens there either. So I think I'm fine with that.
Well, okay.
I mean, yeah. Right?
I'd say Winter Soldier, particularly, it does keep the DNA from the first Avengers, because you're dealing with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, but Daredevil is
the scope. The scope seems large to me, because you're talking about a national threat. They're trying to take up, a national threat. So the scale is still as big as a Midtown Manhattan being attacked. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, but I mean, I think the thing is that the show isn't taking a large national scale scope crisis. This is a, you know, Hell's Kitchen. It's dealing with Hell's Kitchen and dealing with that mob underworld. You know, it's the Wire. I mean, for some terms, it's the Wire and the Sopranos.
I put it like this: if I know that aliens could attack us and wipe us out at any second, I'm probably not going to be as afraid of the Kingpin. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you would.
Well, I mean, the way he's presented in this, he got dudes spike in the head, they so scared.
Exactly.
So Kingpin, I think it works.
Man, you need to read the books, man. Kingpin is not the one. Okay.
Oh, see, Mike, you just kind of gave it away. But okay, go ahead.
You all gave. Right.
Okay. Is it these how many 7-9 episodes? Isn't this essentially an origin story spread out over 9 episodes?
I don't know.
It might be. Yeah, I think there's 13.
Oh, 13. I'm sorry. 13, okay.
12. But it could possibly be. But again, it does take place in a world where there's a, you know, a thunder god or exists. But again, he's not playing.
Well,
in
see
the
that,
context of this story, so again, we don't know how we would how things we would be in these situations if we knew alien existed. Maybe things would be a little different, but this is a comic book.
Well, see, my thing is, I didn't even think about the other characters until Q just mentioned it. Because I'm not in that world like you guys are. So that those thoughts, I'm just focusing on this story and not thinking, oh yeah, this is the same universe that, you know, Thor takes place in, or Iron Man, or the Avengers, and, you know, eventually Ultron. So,
and they don't beat you over the head with it in this either.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I mean, I didn't even, that never came into my mind at all. What I was going to ask, and this is kind of the technical aspect, I don't know, maybe you guys will have an opinion. What do you think of I think the opening credits are amazing.
Yeah.
Just the credit sequence.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I was like, wow, this is really, I mean, it kind of made me, you know, kind of sit up a little bit and take notice. And now I want to ask, you don't have to spoil, but is there another sequence that you've seen?
A podcast juice sound effect clip going in the background or something? Juggling ice or something.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's me. That's me. Sorry.
You getting more of a taste.
Got my cup in my hand. Is there a sequence? Is there another sequence equal to the hallway scene that you guys seen yet?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Well, it's in terms of the fight choreography, not the camera work.
Okay.
Yeah, and the fights. The fights are brutal. Like, there's a part where a dude's bone is pulled, ripped, you know, broken out. I was like, good God. I like that, though. I'm like, damn, these dudes are going in. You know, Katz is getting that ass whipped. Daredevil getting his ass whipped.
I was surprised to see that. Is that like it in the Frank Miller book? Or
he takes his lumps. More in the Bendis book, but he takes his lumps.
Wow, okay.
You know, one thing I want to see in this, though, like, and maybe they're coming, I kind of want to see, like, ninjas. And Elektra.
When they do Elektra, they'll Bullseye. Do the ninjas.
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
You got to have Bullseye. You got to have Bullseye.
Yeah. Well, let's ask this question. In terms of what we've seen so far in comparison to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is this on the same level? Is it better?
Oh, it's already better in 3 episodes.
Exactly. Better.
Well, no, wait. Are you saying it's better than S.H.I.E.L.D.'s premiere season? Or are you saying it's better overall, even at the state?
I think it's better than its premiere season, and I think in the tone of the show, I think it's more tightly written. But I don't particularly blame the creative team behind it, as they have to serve the masters that is network television as well as Disney. Because I mean, if you just look at the first 3 episodes, you can tell when they're left to just create a great story, a standalone story, without having to worry with the constraints of network television, having to get a certain demo at a certain hour, being able to appeal to children. You can see what they're capable of coming up with, just a great narrative story.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you say this is better than The Flash? And let me tell you why I asked that question. Because with all the problems I have with The Flash, what I can say is that The Flash is a fun show to watch.
And I'm not
sure. Hold on. One problem I have, I'm not going to say it's a problem, but the one thing I can say about the show is that, much like The Man of Steel, it could use a little bit more moments of levity. It's a little too serious, whereas The Flash, you get a little bit of both. You get a nice mix there.
Well, DC's always been more of a corny quotient.
You said corny.
Corny company. Whereas with especially Marvel and Daredevil, you're not going to get that. That's not going to happen here. you know, again, Q, you got to read these books, man.
Yeah, after three episodes, I'm not ready to proclaim it better than The Flash is. I think The Flash is the best superhero comic book television show ever.
That'll change after the weekend.
It's possible.
I'm there with them too. The Flash, that trailer for the next couple of Flash episodes.
Yeah.
Headbust. Now, what are they doing on The Flash? I'm seeing CW's playing it on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I think the show repeats just to get more audience. Okay. I think maybe their Thursday show might have flopped, so they're just putting it there to get any other viewers that might need to get up to date with it. But yeah, right now, yeah, I'm sorry. It's better than The Walking Dead, and better than Gotham, better than
Gotham
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sucks.
So yeah, The Flash is that show.
Am I the only one still watching Gotham?
No, I'm still watching Gotham. Gotham.
Hell no.
Gotham has the ability to be a good show, but that is Disney. Now, I can say Disney. That is what would happen if Disney and ABC tampered too much with a show. To serve too many masters. But I think, yeah, Daredevil, right now, I can't proclaim it better than Flash. It's really good. I would put it 3 behind The Walking Dead. And that's only because The Walking Dead, to me, is falling off.
All right. Now, what's coming next for Marvel Netflix? Is it the Jessica Jones?
Jessica Jones, yep. Indeed.
Now, I don't know anything about that character. What is Jessica Jones?
Quickly. She is a former superhero, and they I hate this word, but they retconned her. She was an Avenger named Jewel. Her powers faded a bit. She went to be a private eye in the book Alias, and that lasted for 28 episodes. It's more like a private eye who will sometime. It's like X-Files-ish a little bit, but more, you know, street level, and I hate this word, hard-boiled. And, you know, Jessica is a flawed person. She drinks, at the time, she drank too much. You know, she was a bit, you know, promiscuous. Starts a little something with Luke Cage, a little booty call at some point, because Luke was with another woman, apparently. And she comes up pregnant, and the character took off. So they're like, we're going to bring her into the Avengers. And she got a lot of play, and Luke got a lot of play in the whole Secret Invasion thing. And now they're together.
And apparently she likes anal sex.
Yes, she does.
Huh?
Yes, she does.
Yes.
Hey,
don't get mad at me for pointing that out. That's the comic book. They wrote that in there.
Really?
What's that?
The very first word in the very first issue of Alias is fuck. That is a max title in every sense of the word.
Interesting.
Alrighty. Okay. Well, I may have to become a geek then.
Now that comes out later this year, right? That's coming out this year.
Yeah, which I'm kind of mad at Marvel and Netflix. Maybe they had to tinker with things because they wanted to make sure that it was perfect to get everything right. But all four of these were supposed to debut this year: Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist. But it looks like all we're going to get is Daredevil and Jessica Jones this year.
I'm not really hyped about Iron Fist. You know, I never liked that character to begin with, so I really don't care about Iron Fist.
And I know y'all can go ahead and pull my geek card for this, but I just found out that Iron Fist isn't Asian. He's a white boy. I'm not okay with that.
Pull his card right now.
I said go ahead, but I'm not okay with that.
Shit. Okay, Mr. Al Sharpton, why aren't you okay with that?
Like, how is the embodiment of all these? I'm not going to even try to pretend I know what are these mysticism magic that he's pulling from. But all this Asian mysticism magic is a gringo. Like, come on, they can't even get an Asian person up in there. Like,
why don't you read the book, man?
What? And
let that explain it to you.
Well, why don't you give me the Cliff Notes version of why there's this white boy endowed with the power of Iron Fist.
You know, I can't answer that, man. I've never read his origin, so I'm not the one to ask. But who cares?
Do your research.
Yeah, do your damn research.
You damn nigger. Just joking. I didn't know that either, but interesting.
Yeah, Danny. Wait. Danny Rand is with the black woman, though, so he's going to pass now?
Interesting.
No, that's more hate.
Oh, jeez. Come on, man.
There's 55% of this country is white, and half of them are women. He really couldn't have got him a white woman? Come on, Al.
So you hate on him because he's with a black girl. You just talk.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, definitely go check out Daredevil. We've given you a little primer what we thought about it. We have yet to watch the entire thing, but I'm going to blaze through it and check it out, watch it. So let us know what you think, and I'm sure we'll do another recap of what we felt about the entire season. And we'll see if it has any more ties with the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I had a question real quick.
Sure.
Big Sexy, you seem to be a connoisseur of the Frank Miller Daredevil.
Yes, so I am.
What would you say is the equivalent in episodes? What is this, 13 episodes? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what would you say would be the equivalent of when we would see Daredevil in the classic red costume? Maybe in the episode?
Well, they're not only taking the initial Miller run from 168 to 190, they're also doing the limited series that they did with that Frank did with John Romita Jr. called The Man Without Fear. Mm-hmm. So when you saw him in the black little like half do-rag mask thing, that comes from that. So that's kind of hard to rationalize or rectify in with the timeline, but until they introduce Elektra. Now, the Kingpin is a little bit early because the Kingpin really doesn't come along until Elektra does, really. Mm. You know, because she comes along shortly after the Kingpin, and the Elektra story is told in a flashback. And then after that, actually, I take that back. Bullseye comes first because Bullseye came along in 161. So we should be seeing him before we see Elektra.
Okay. I think the last episode he puts on the red costume.
Oh, the last episode they're doing a Smallville, huh?
I think that.
Did he put on the red costume or the yellow and black costume?
No, he's definitely with the red. Okay. I've seen the footage of it, but I think it's the last episode.
Now we mentioned this earlier about the flashbacks. Me personally, I'm of the notion that I don't like the flashback. I Lost, that was great for what they were doing. It fit the tone. Tone of the stories, as far as, you know, they have the present of being on this island and they wanted to show you what the characters were like before they got to the island. That was perfect. However, I think that it's become an overused crutch, even trope in today's television. And me personally, I think, okay, maybe a flashback in the first episode, maybe a flashback a couple of episodes down the line. But the flashback being used in every episode to show you him being as a kid, I really don't care about him being as a kid. We get it. You went. Your dad was a boxer. Well, because I know the backstory. But your dad was a boxer. He didn't take a dive. He got killed. You went blind. Dean, let's move on. I don't need to know anymore. I don't need to know anymore of your struggles of being a blind kid. I don't need to know how you figured out how to read blind and, you know, how the nuances of Braille and whatnot. I don't want to know all that. I don't want to know how rough it was to see your dad come home all beat out. Boo hoo. Fuck all that. I'm just going to say, am I alone in that thought process of stop with the flashbacks?
Boo hoo. Well, fuck all that.
Yeah. I'm
but I will say this. He is that child actor, that young Matt Murdock, is a better child actor than young Bruce Wayne on Gotham. Oh.
Come on now, young Bruce Wayne's a little girl, man. You know, come on, he's terrible.
Yes, I will say that though. That kid is way better.
All right, any last words?
Nobody even answered the question. No,
okay. I did. I said I had mentioned the flashback structure earlier, but I got crickets. So I agree with you.
My only concern would be that. I'm kind of tired of the flashback motif as well, method, whatever the proper word is.
Trope.
Okay, trope.
And you're the movie person. Okay.
Ah, shot fire.
Yeah, because a trope is something that's only relegated to cinema. Okay. Anyway, then I guess I would be concerned that they would try to cram his whole backstory into one episode, into what is it? I guess these are 52 minutes long or 55 minutes long.
Something like that.
The one thing you can say about this method of revealing his backstory, you can you can get it strung out a little bit more over a series of episodes. I do think it does interfere with the forward momentum of each plot. But
yes,
there you have it.
Agreed.
Right. But anyway, keep in mind, too. Whoa. This is a unique. Somebody's got the speakers up way loud. This is a unique.
What is that?
Somebody's got the speakers up.
It's not me. It's not me.
I haven't touched anything.
Check.
I'm on a headset.
I guess it's got to be Sean.
Is somebody playing this in speakers? That's the question.
I'm playing it. I'm listening to you guys on my laptop speakers.
So I'm listening to you guys through my headset.
But that's where I've always done that for the 2 years we've been doing this.
Right. Well, whatever reason, this after 2 years, for that second, it was.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to shut down, and I'm going
to
come
check,
back.
Check. It seems to be fine now.
Yeah. Check, baby. One, two.
All right. What I was going to say real quick, the thing is, unlike a lot of the TV that we normally watch, which is played episodically over weeks, they dump the whole thing. So it does require a different storytelling method, since it is all placed in front of you right now. And you could, they're assuming that most people are going to just kind of blow through this. So that makes a big difference in how you tell a story. If you got to give everybody the whole story up front. Right, because there's no cliffhangers. Can't really drag it on. With that, we're going to end our Daredevil conversation. Definitely check it out. Let us know what you think. We're going to skip going around the room because you know where to find us. Find us right here in Podcast Juice, right?
Hey, well, before we go, Newsarama, they did like their best live-action TV comic book TV series of all time. I want to take a look at what they named. Hello?
I'm actually kind of interested, but Mike was like,
"Go to Newsarama.com.
It's easy. Batman.
Go ahead, Harry. Right. Go ahead.
Number 10, Wonder Woman. Number 9, The Adventures of Superman from the 50s. Number 8, The Flash, 1990s show.
Oh, that was crap.
Yep.
Number 7, The Middleman. It's apparently an ABC Family show. I don't have any idea where that's from. Number 6, the 2014 Flash, which to me is ridiculous that it's that low. Number 5, the 1960s Batman show. Number 4, The Incredible Hulk. Number 3, Smallville. Number 2, Arrow. Number 1, Walking Dead.
I fuck out with Arrow being
Walking
that high.
Dead? That's not a superhero. What?
Oh, comic book live action TV series of all time with Tim Best. Right. I'm like, if those were the shows that were picked ahead of The Flash, then there's no way then Flash has to be number one of all time. Because those shows are not better than
all time.
We will agree to disagree.
All right, leave your comments at newsarama.com.
By the way, it's Hulk. It's not Hawk. It's Hulk. It's not Hawk.
Ladies and
Hawk
gentlemen, we will see you next time on Geeked Out. Peace.